1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's start in verse number 4, and then we're going to skip around just a little bit, but we'll start in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Let's jump to verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow a more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that you've given me. Lord, I don't take it lightly. Lord, I pray that you just help my lips only say what you would have me to say. Lord, I pray that I would honor you tonight. Lord, I want to pray for our preacher as he's preaching and the other men that are preaching tonight, Brother Riser as he's away. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every one of them. Lord, I pray that you'd come upon us tonight and just meet with us. Help this just to be an encouragement and a challenge to the folks, Lord. And as it was, as I studied this out, and Lord, I pray that you just bless us tonight. Help the Masters Club. Lord, I once again want to pray for the prayer request and for Brother Eric, Lord. And I pray that you just touch in each and every one of those needs. And we'll thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. In preparation for this tonight, I did read. I have a copy of Pastor Ross's The Symphony, and I went and kind of read that, and now I'm kind of like Pastor Ross was. If you kind of read that, he didn't really want to go to the symphony, to be quite honest, and I can kind of feel that, okay? I really wouldn't want to go to the symphony, but there's a lot of other things in life that all have to work together in order to achieve a certain goal, all right? In my case, when I think of, you know, something working well together, it's a piece of equipment, okay? Equipment has to work. You know, you can't have part of your piece of equipment fighting the other part of the equipment. It just doesn't work, okay? So I kind of went a different way than what Pastor Ross went, you know, with what he was talking about. But I want to talk to you tonight about this subject, ready for work. Ready for work. I read equipment magazines a lot. Like, if you go to any outdoor place or whatever, Tractor Supply, Orchelin's, Rural King, they'll have like Tractor House. It's a Tractor House magazine, or Fast Line. I don't know if anybody's ever looked through those, okay? I really should not look through those. It's a bad thing for me to look through those. I'm like, whoa, that's new, all right? And, you know, it's, I don't know, ladies, maybe you have like Avon magazines you look through, and there's different stuff. Well, it's kind of like that same thing, except, you know, instead of paying, you know, $50 for, you know, whatever, makeup, you're paying $50,000 for, you know, a tractor. So my wife kind of like, well, you got to be careful looking through those things, you know. But I do like looking through them, okay. And you get different ideas, and you get kind of an idea of what things cost, what people are asking for different things, and how much people are willing to pay for different equipment. But sometimes you'll be reading through there, and there's a statement, and it's kind of what I'm going to preach about tonight, but there's a statement that'll say, it's ready to work, okay? It's ready for work. And basically, in my mind, that means that that piece of equipment, if I went and bought that piece of equipment, it's just had a fresh oil change, it's got decent tires on it, everything, as far as they know, I could jump on it and go do whatever job I need to do. That's what ready to work means, okay? And that, it's maybe, you know, depends on where you go, people have different different ideas of what ready to work is. You know, you show up and, you know, there's a tree growing through the hood, and, you know, no, that's not ready to work, okay? you know, if it's ready to work, it just basically, in my mind, it doesn't need anything. It's ready to go, okay? Most of the stuff that I buy does not say ready to work on it, all right? Ready to work on or something like that, all right? I don't usually can afford the ready to work, the categories of equipment. So I'm looking for the, you know, the mechanic special, all right? That's kind of what I'm looking for. There's different things, and it's always nice having a piece of equipment that's ready to work. It is. It's very nice. You know, you get going. Last Friday, I think it was, like 10 o'clock at night. My in-laws were coming in for a week, all right? Well, enough said. That's right. They were coming in for a week. So I'm trying to get everything done. And like 10 o'clock at night, or it was like 9:40, I get a phone call. He's like, hey, do you think you can find a trailer and come get us? I'm like, find a trailer? And they're on the other side of Indianapolis, like at 9:40. And I'm automatically thinking, the first thing that jumps into my mind is, what do I got to do to my trailer to get it from, that I feel confident that I can drive from my house to Indy and back, and I'm not going to have any problems? Because most of my equipment, I mean, don't get me wrong, I try to take good care of it and all, but, you know, there's just some things, I mean, me running from here to Linton and me running from here to the other side of Indianapolis is a complete different thing, okay? So I'm thinking of all the stuff, oh, I got to put that bolt back in I took out the other day. So I'm over here at, Brother Dave and Miss Jessica probably heard me here, like they usually do, at late at night, you know, I'm here at 10 o'clock, I'm bam, 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 trying to get this bolt put back in my trailer that I'd taken out for some odd reason, all right? Oh, I got to put my license plate on it, you know, just stuff that ordinarily it's like, whatever. So I'm trying to get all this stuff done on my trailer, and then I'm like, when did I check the oil level in my truck last? So I'm, you know, checking the oil, checking all the fluids, all right? I'm looking at my tires, checking the air pressure, stuff that normally I don't even worry about. I mean, I check stuff, but it's not like, you know, I'm like paranoid that something's going to happen. You know, I don't have a spare for anything that I own, okay? So if something blows up, you know, I'm like, oh, great. So I want to make sure everything's ready to work, ready to go, all right? And, you know, if I'm the same way with equipment. Some guy might say, call me, hey, can I borrow your trailer? What did I do to it? Did I tear something up on it recently? Or, you know, stuff like that. So I'm always trying to think, if I'm going to give somebody something and I say, yeah, this is ready to go, you know, it needs to be ready to go. It needs to be ready to work. I want it to be able to pick it up. You know, guys, if you go rent a piece of equipment, you don't expect to get it to your place and then have to work on it for 5 hours to get it ready to go. You know, stuff like that, it should be ready to work, okay? And I got to thinking about that, and we'll apply this to the scripture in here in a moment, but first thing I want to ask is, are you ready for work? Are you ready for work? Personally, are you ready for work personally? Let's say God, I don't know how God assigns certain tasks to certain Christians. I don't know. But let's say, for sake of illustration, God has a Christian catalog up in heaven. And he flips through, I've got a certain job I need to do. You know, if I'm looking to move a large amount of dirt, and I would be looking through one of those catalogs, I'm looking for obviously a piece of equipment that can move the dirt. If I want to move it a long way, I want to look for a scraper. If I'm going to just be pushing some dirt, making berms, maybe a bulldozer. If I'm going to be taking trees out, maybe looking for an excavator. You see what I'm saying? You know, if I'm going to be tilling a field, I'm not looking for an excavator. Okay, that's not what I'm looking for. So I wonder if sometimes God up in heaven, he's kind of flipping through. Well, yeah, they would do a good job, but they're not ready for work. Yeah, that I I got this person I need to have somebody go witness to. And he flips through and he sees your name and or my name. And yeah, that they could do it, but they got some issues in life. They're going to have to take some work before they're qualified to go do that. And I just kind of caught my mind, because that really wasn't exactly what I was, but Lord kind of changed everything. Have you ever thought that maybe the reason that God doesn't seem to use you in the way that you would like to be used is because something's not quite right? You know, if I go on my tractor, I build a grapple bucket, that is the best, that thing has saved me so much work, but I can grab huge amounts of brush that would take me hours to do, and within just a couple minutes, I can move it, stack it, take logs, stack them. But if I have to work on it for, or that, or whatever, if I have to work on it for 5 hours, it doesn't save me any time, because it's not ready for work. And I think as Christians, sometimes there are things, and I know in my life, I'm sure God has had tasks that he said, I want Chad to do this. But then he looks at my life and he's not ready for this. Not because he couldn't do it, but because spiritually he's not in the right state to do it. I wonder if that could be said of us. You know, God looks down and says, are they ready to visit this Saturday? Are they ready? Or is things need to be fixed? Are they ready to teach this Sunday morning? Could I put them as a ready to work, or are things that need fixed? Things that need, maybe they just need something that's refueled. And I'm going to get to that in just a moment. Are you ready to witness? You're walking through a store and God has somebody prepared, somebody ready to be saved. And all God needs is somebody that's ready to work, ready to go. Are you ready to be a blessing to others? Maybe there's somebody that needs a special blessing from heaven. And God could use you as just a channel, but there's some blockages. There's something in there that you're not ready to work. What about, are you ready to pray for others? You know, pastors often said this, and I think it's true. If somebody needs prayer in a very, very important, special way, I mean instant prayer. I'm not talking about we have 5 hours to, you know, get everything clean out of your life. I'm talking about now. They need, you know, I don't know, maybe Ashley needs prayer right now. Can God look at you and say, are they ready to pray? Are they ready to work? Or do you have to spend 5 hours trying to remember all this junk that you've built up in your life to get rid of it? Are you ready to work? Or do you got junk that needs fixed? Just a thought. So what if I'm not ready to work? What if I'm not ready to work? And you have to diagnose that. I can't diagnose it. You have to diagnose it. Is this ready to work? Diagnose it. What do you do if you're not ready to work? Well, obviously, you got to fix what's broken. You got to fix the broken. Go to Psalms chapter 51. And we'll get to the text. Don't worry. We're getting there. Psalms chapter 51. Verse number 10. If you're familiar with this is after David had gone to Bathsheba and been confronted by the prophet Nathan. The Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. So those three verses say, created me, he basically is asking God, God, clean me up. And then look at verse number 13. As a result of that, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David knew this. David said, God, I'm not ready to teach transgressors. I'm not ready to tell sinners about you. So Lord, fix what's wrong. Clean my heart. Make everything right so I'm ready to work. And then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. But you know what? David wouldn't have been ready to work before then. David had that sin that was in his life. So he's getting clean right here. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Verse number 25. Ezekiel 36, 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the field, and ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways, and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Did you catch what God said here? He said, I want to do all this for you. I want to make your cities prosperous. I want to make it like the Garden of Eden. But first, I got to clean you. I got to cleanse it. And basically he's saying, you got to get you broken out. You got to be ready to work. Okay? Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, I'll just read this. The Bible says, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I want to challenge you tonight. What wonders can God do among us? We got a lot coming on this year. We do. Exciting stuff. What can God do among us? The wonders that God can do among us. But we got to sanctify ourselves. You got to fix what's broken. If you got something wrong inside, you got to fix it to be a part of it. I can have a tractor. I can have a piece of equipment that can do exactly what I want it to do. But if it's never fixed, it'll sit in a field and rot away. Unless it's in running order, it just sits there and rots. It has to be fixed. The other thing, so you got to fix the broken. And this may be kind of different, but you got to refuel. You got to refuel. Are you ready for work? Are you fueled up? Are you ready to go? You know, nothing's worse than, you know, hey, can I borrow your car? Yeah, sure, jump in and take it. You know, you get in there and it's, you know, the light's been on for who knows how long. Oh, great, I got to go put fuel, you know. It's just, you know, when we worked on the farm, every night almost, you'd fuel up. That way you're ready for the next morning. You know, as Christians, you can't give and give and give and give and give and never take in. You got to stay close to God in your Bible reading. You got to stay close to God in your prayer. You know why preachers sometimes, they go, and Mrs. Ross, they just went to a preacher's conference? Because at some point, you got to refuel. You got to have some time. You know, I think, you know, Moses spent time up in the mountain before he ever came down to minister to the people. I think Moses was getting his fuel tank filled. All right? He spent time up in the mountain. Every person that God's used in some great way had to spend time with God in order so that they could give. You know, Christ spent time in prayer before he went to the cross. He was about to give the ultimate sacrifice. And I think he had to get some fuel. I don't know what all happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, but I think God gave him an extra little bit of a, there you go, go do it. All right? Pastor, like I said, needs to get away. It's that time that you spend in the upper room before Pentecost. Not only is that time, I believe, a time to get fixed if something's broke, it's time to refuel. You can't Sunday school teacher, you can't teach your class and not take in too. I can tell there's been times in my life, you know, I do junior church, children's church. You know, I can tell if I did not spend enough time in God's word that week. Just spiritually, it just like exhausts you. It's just like, whoa. All right. You got to refuel. You got to take that stuff in. Okay. So refuel. If God had someone that needed you tonight, within the next 5 minutes, God needed you to do something. He's flipping through his book. I need them to do something. Will it say ready for work? Or does it say call for information? That's always a bad thing when they say call for information, especially when it's a real low price. Yeah, it's missing an engine. Oh, yeah, that's you know, that's not good. So what are you? Are you ready for work? Are you in need of repair? So are you ready for work personally? Secondly, are you ready for work corporately? As a church, are we ready for work? Pastor's got some exciting things coming up. If you were in some staff meetings that I was in, okay, you would just be like, dude, what? We're doing what? Okay? But it's exciting. It's exciting things, okay? Are you ready for work corporately? As a church, are we ready for work? And this is where I want to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, God put together a body of people to do a work for him. But you know, if the body's not functioning right, if the hand is aggravated at the eye and the ear is aggravated at the toe and everybody's fighting amongst themselves, it can't work. Everybody has to come together. Do you know, in a machine, I love hydraulics. I'm not a professional in hydraulics, but I think it's amazing how, you know, you can produce, you know, if you've got a 2-inch diameter pump, displacement pump, and a 4-inch, you can run that hose however long you want, and basically you can quadruple your force with the same amount of pressure. Pascal's law. If you, any of you familiar with Pascal's law, probably not. But anyway, Pascal's law, okay? Hydraulics is an amazing thing. But if you've got one thing that's not working right, you can shut the whole machine down. One thing that's not working right. Well, Brother Chad, but this is the church, and our church has been going a long time, okay? Let me shoot this at you. I've got a tractor that's got the Quick Connect skid steer attachment on it. Those things are wonderful. And you know what? I can spend more in attachments that go on my tractor than I can spend on what I paid for the tractor itself. Easy. No questions asked. And you know what each attachment does? It's like a tool in my toolbox. Every tool God has its own thing that it can do. Yeah, we're a church, and maybe we're functioning. But I'll go up against anybody in this room that has a regular bucket for moving brush. I'll go up against anybody, even if you got a bigger tractor. I don't care. I'll put my grapple bucket up against your bucket, and we'll see who wins. Because that's what it's designed for. That's what it's made for. Yeah, we've got a church here that's functioning, but what if you would jump on board? Oh, Brother Chad, I don't have anything to offer. So you're doubting that God created you for some special purpose. God created everybody. God put you in this church for something. Just as God put my hand on my body for something, God put you in this church for something. Oh, I just can't contribute. That's a bunch of baloney. Yes, you can contribute. You can give. All right? And each person has different areas of expertise that is... I don't even know everybody, that the knowledge that everybody has. If you would take all the potential in this room, it would be absolutely amazing. But you know what? People want to hold back this, and they want to hold back this, and they're not ready for work. And because they're not ready for work, the church can't accomplish. Will it accomplish stuff? Yes. I'm not saying it's not accomplished, but what more could it do? Because you say, I'll jump in. I can do that. I can contribute in that regard, okay? So corporately, are we ready for work? I believe that this year could be the most exciting years we have had at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm not just saying that. I believe it. I talked whenever I preached last. Do you believe it or is it just a theory? I believe this. Well, Brother Chad, how do you show that you believe that? Because I'm working towards it. What are you doing? I'm working towards it because I believe in it. Remember what I said? If you believe something, you'll work towards it. Okay? I'm working towards it. We are part of a machine that when everything is working right can do some amazing things for God. I think the body, the human body, is the most incredible thing that God has ever created. But you know what? And this is maybe the mechanical part of my mind. God has allowed men to also create some pretty amazing things. Brother Tim, the CNC machining, Brother Levi, you know, a machine that can, you basically program it and it goes in and cuts this part for you. You don't even touch it hardly. That's amazing to me. You know, faith, we talk about faith that can move mountains. Maybe my faith is really small, okay? But God said faith is a grain of mustard seed, right? Okay? I believe that let's say for instance, we're just using an illustration. The property down there that has the building on it, top, those that went down and looked at it. I'm not really saying that's a mountain. But I believe that I can move that mountain. Brother Chad, what are you saying? I believe that there's enough men, even if we had to do it by shovels, if you believe that we can do it, we can go out there and move it. We can knock that whole hill off. If you really wanted to, we could get semis and take it to the ocean and throw it in the ocean. Because I believe that we can do it. Now, granted, I'm not going to do it with a shovel, okay? I'm going to use a piece of equipment, okay? That's just smart, all right? But I believe that we can do it. I believe that if God wants us to build that church down there, I believe that we can do it, all right? But you know what? I can't do it by myself. You can't do it by yourself. It takes everybody working together to do that, all right? Now, God's given us a pastor that he's given us a vision for that. Folks, each person in our church is vital for the church to move forward. Nobody is a nobody, all right? You're something special to God. Brother Chad, I don't know what I can do. Well, honestly, most people, if you'd come ask me what you could do, I've got a really long list. I'd be glad to share with you. Oh, I don't know if I can do any. Ask me. I bet you I'd got something you could do. But you know what? It's everybody working together. It's that machine that's working. There's nothing. I love running equipment. There's nothing I like more than just a machine that's working right. Got all the power it needs, and it's made for that job. I just like running them. And you know what? I think that's what God is looking down at our church and saying, well, these member and this member, they got some issues that they need to figure out that they're not ready to work yet. Or is he look, blessed hope, they're ready to work. Let's do this. And then he gives you the task ahead. Is our church ready to work? We have some amazing things ahead of our church. Not only is it exciting that we can be a part of another church that is being started, but it's also neat to realize that we can continue to be a part of a church that is growing. We need everyone. The machine cannot fight itself. Get things right with one another. Every part of the machine must be in good working order. And listen to this. No machine that I have ever operated has ever fought back with the operator. I've never had a machine fight me. I will take that back. I don't remember if you remember the message I preached about the GPS. When you're running a GPS in a tractor, literally the steering wheel is turning itself. It's all operated off of GPS. Well, if you grab the steering wheel without actually putting pressure on it, if you just grab it, your handle, it'll jerk you around. But I don't consider that the machine fighting me. I told the machine to do that. Okay? I told it to. I told it, you're following this line. All right? But you know what? I'm not running an excavator and, you know, I push the handle forward to extend the boom out and, you know, the machine starts moving forward, all right, because it just wants to, okay? Brother Levi's not running a mower and he's trying to turn left and the machine just refuses to and decides it's going to turn right. It just don't happen. But you know what? People do a lot. People do a lot. Well, I just don't, I think there's a better way to do that. Well, go get your own church and pastor yourself. Don't fight the operator, all right? More importantly, don't fight God about something. God's the ultimate operator. If God wants you to do something, don't fight him about it. If you've got everything right and God says, man, I want to use them, that's an honor. And our church, let's not fight God. If God says, let's go do something, let's go do it. All right? J.R. Faulkner, I don't know if you're familiar with J.R. Faulkner. I love this quote. He's an assistant pastor to Dr. Lee Robertson for I don't know how many years. He said, God holds a pastor responsible for making the decision. He holds me responsible for how I carry that decision out. Amen. I'm not responsible for deciding where we go to plant a church. I'm not responsible for which classrooms we divide. I'm not responsible for, you know, what we do out here as far as, you know. But you know what I am responsible for? If pastor says, jump, I say, how high? If he says, I want this built, I say, what's the dimensions? If he says, I want these classrooms divided, I say, what color do you want it painted? My job is not to question. My job is to do. The machine's job is not to question the operator. Heaven help us if we ever get machines that question the operator. The machine's job, are you sure you want to turn left? Theoretically, mathematically, you ought to be turning right at this moment in time to most efficiently conserve fuel. I don't want a machine. I just want a machine that when I say turn left, turns left. Okay? You don't want a car that, you know, can you imagine driving down the road and your car decides, you know, instead of just being guided by GPS, it is driving. And, you know, you don't want to go to McDonald's. You want to go to Wendy's. Okay? But it decides it wants to go to McDonald's. All right? The machine, I'm just saying all that, machines don't fight the operator. And we shouldn't fight the operator either. God holds me responsible for not making the decision. That's not my job. All right? He holds me only responsible for how I carry out that decision. Okay? Nehemiah chapter 2 will be the last reference we go to. Nehemiah chapter 2. You know, the body is like that too, folks. That's why I read that passage. You know, the body is the most amazing human, the most amazing thing God ever created. But when my head tells my hand that my left arm hurts or itches, you know, I go over here because it itches over here. All right? My wife was telling me, this is kind of besides the point. My wife was telling me about, it was two teenage girls. They were what? They were conjoined twins. They had two heads, but one body. But they completely, and each one controlled their half of the body. But they could completely function like anybody else. It was pretty amazing. I'd have to read the whole story, but it was pretty amazing. Nehemiah chapter 2. Verse number 11, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I rose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Folks, God has given us some things to do. All right? God's given this church, I'm not just talking about in the future. There's no reason, honestly, folks, that And I'm thankful for every person that comes. But there's no reason why this church shouldn't be running more than what it is. There's no reason at all. We're running five buses. Five buses. Okay? So, and there's no reason we should not. But you know why? Because I don't think our machine, for some reason, is not functioning at full capacity. Half power, three quarters power. I want to look at my life. First of all, am I personally ready to work? Second of all, am I corporately? Do I got everything? You know, I want to make sure I got everything right with everybody. Am I ready? Am I ready? God, am I ready for this? Nehemiah was. God said, there's a man I can use. He's ready to work. And you know what? He took a few men with him that night. They were ready to work. And then he got up and said, hey, we got this job we need to get done. And the guy says, let's do this. Let's get this thing done. What is faith that can move a mountain? A group, I said something like that, a group of people working together in something they believe in. Yeah, we can move that mountain. Are we ready to work? Is our church ready to work? Can God look down and say, they're ready to work? They're ready to go. Nothing is hindering my blessing on their work. Are they ready to work? Folks, I've kind of got, I don't know, me and the boys was talking about it today and at supper time, well, after visitation. You know that feeling you kind of get in the pit of your stomach, like right before you go play a big basketball game? Or that feeling you get in the pit of your stomach, you know, when we played flag football. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I just got a queasy stomach. I don't know. You know, the 5 minutes before you get ready to play a big game, that feeling in the pit of your stomach. I mean, everything's just turning and rolling over. You almost feel like you're going to get sick, but you're like real excited, okay? Amen. That's kind of the way I feel about what God's going to do in our church. Amen. I kind of got this. And you know what? Everybody gets together. They've practiced all season long. This is the tournament game. They've laid everything that they could possibly could on the line. They're physically in shape. As a team, they're working together. They know that they don't know for sure that they will win, but they're almost 99% sure we can do this. We can pull this off. And you're just waiting for that referee to blow the whistle, for the two team captains to come, throw the ball up or to flip the coin. And you're just kind of, it's that, let's go, let's get this done. I kind of got that feeling about what God's going to do in our church. I think it's possible. I'm working towards it. I'm doing my, you know, I'm trying. We're working towards different things. Pastor and Brother Reiser are working on things. Are you ready? Are you ready for work? You know, the Lakers just won. Did they win state? Is that what the Lakers just won? See, obviously, it matters a lot to us here. I met a Laker fan on visitation today, and I really wanted to talk to her about it, but I had no clue what to talk about. It's like, go Lakers. But you know what? They spent, you know how much time, how much money those boys put on one evening. One evening of glory. When they were, I think they made it to state. Because it was a big deal, if I remember right. Sorry. I think they make it to state. Yeah, they made it to state. She's Jacksonville. She's a Jacksonville citizen. She knows. They made it to state. And for one night, man, they were in all their glory. Can you imagine the feeling those boys had before that championship game? What every high school across the state was hoping that they could be at, and they were there. That feeling that was going through the pit of their stomach. And then when they made that final shot and the buzzer rang off, the joy, and what? For a trophy that sits on their wall. Folks, we got something way better than that. We got some awesome, we got treasures. We may not ever hold them in our hands, but they're laid up for us. Why can't we get as excited about that You know, that team worked together. It wasn't a one-man show. This isn't a one-man show. Our church is not a one-man show. But everybody working together, it's that well-oiled machine. That's a joy for the Lord to say, here's a job. Go do it. So I'm going to challenge you tonight. If God was to say, have a magazine, that he's looking for a certain Christian to do a certain work. Maybe it's a work that you do every Sunday or every week. But can he look at you and say, they're ready to work? Or are you broken? You need refueled? Got some issues that need resolved before you're really, truly ready to work? And as a church, are we ready to work? Are you ready to go? Or is there things that, yeah, I should probably get that right. Are you ready to go? Kind of feel, you know, the coach says, let's do this. That's what Nehemiah basically said. He had these men that his team that accomplished really an amazing feat as far as construction goes. Absolutely astounding. He gathered all of his guys together and said, let's do this. We can do it. So as we look ahead, let's keep ourselves clean, myself included. I'm not probably the worst in here about it. I got to keep myself clean so God can see a tool ready to work. And as a body, we can't have any schisms. And each person has to contribute so that our church, when God looks down, they're ready to work. Here's their task and sends us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night. Lord, I just wanted this to be an encouragement to the folks tonight. Lord, there wasn't anything extra special. Lord, I guess it's my way of thinking and maybe a different way of drawing sense out of something. But Lord, I pray that when you look at our lives, Lord, particularly, God, when you see my life, Lord, I don't want anything there that you would look at and say, oh, there's some stuff in Chad's life that just needs fixed before I can use him. Lord, help our church to be ready to work. Lord, help us as we submit ourselves. Help us not to fight your leading in our lives and the direction that our great pastor's taken us, Lord. Lord, we're not required to give an account for those decisions. God, we're just required to carry out those decisions and how and in what attitude we carry those out. Lord, help us to be better. Help me to be better at that. Lord, we thank you for these great people, God. I pray that this was an encouragement, Lord. Lord, help us to do this. Help us to just be excited about it and eager to get going on this new year, Lord. And we're still just kind of in the beginning parts of it. Lord, I pray that you'd help these people tonight. Help those that can't be with us. And Lord, I pray that you just touch in their lives. Lord, we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.